Welcome to Stargate SG-1 for the first time, still not a Star Trek podcast. My name is Jeff Aiken, and I'm watching Stargate SG-1 for the first time.
And I'm Brent Allen, and I'm watching Stargate SG-1 for the 47th time, but for the first time, I'm seeking out all those Star Trek messages. You know the ones. To hold up a mirror to society, tell us how to be better human beings to each other, maybe just even giving us a hope for the future.
Brent, I'm very eager for this episode after last week's. I'm pretty sure we're going to end up in the Septagon, seven-sided ring, where Daniel's going to do some battle.
That was your prediction, wasn't it?
Yep. I'm just adding the piece. There's going to be the seven-sided ring because that's a little different. It's a little different. Fun. Yeah. Stargate-y kind of thing.
Yep.
So why don't you tell us about Korai?
Yes. Well, Korai is episode number 16. For the folks that are playing along at home and watching episodes on, like, say, Amazon or something like that, it's going to be listed as 15. But just a reminder that Children of the Gods was episodes 1 and 2. Original air date for this episode was January 23rd, 1998.
Wow. The last one was Halloween.
Yes.
So it's like 3 months.
Yeah. Wow. So a little mid-season break there. Mm. Not really quite mid-season. It's like two-thirds of a season break.
Showtime season.
Yes. Yes. They had to break for, I guess, the all the Christmas movies that we're going to be playing for the next month and a half.
Or something.
Something. Yeah. You know, whatever it was. Anyway, today's episode, I want to talk about the director. Mario Azzopardi.
Azzopardi.
Yes. I just bring him up because this is going to be the last SG-1 episode that he directs.
Okay.
He has directed a few, and you last saw his work, or you first saw his work on Children of the Gods.
Really?
Yes. He was our pilot director.
Oh, wow.
He will return for one episode of Stargate Atlantis, which we may or may not watch. I don't know. We haven't decided yet. This episode, Jeff, I've often said is one of those episodes every sci-fi show does. Mm-hmm. There is a specific episode of Star Trek Deep Space Nine from season one that this episode is almost beat for beat down the line with.
Okay.
My challenge to you, you don't know season one that well.
I don't.
Which is a shame.
There are a couple great episodes in season one of Deep Space Nine. A couple.
My challenge to you is to try to figure out which episode that was.
Okay.
I will tell you, while I think I am in the minority on this, I tend to like episodes like this.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not going to sit here and tell you that this is a banger of an episode and get excited. I'm not going to tell you that. I'm going to let you make that decision for yourself. I'm just simply going to say I tend to like episodes like this.
Okay. That's fair.
All right, so Jeff, with that, let's go ahead and jump into today's episode, Korai. If you're joining us for the very first time right here at Stargate SG-1 for the first time, the way this works is Jeff and I are going to go watch that episode right now. It's not like we've already watched it coming in and we're ready to talk about it. Nope, we're going to go watch it right now. Jeff's never seen it. I'm going to go watch it again. And if you're watching along with us on Patreon or on YouTube, you're going to get the reaction video. We're going to do that live right here for you guys. If you want the full unedited reaction, you got to go over to Patreon for that one. That's patreon.com/Babylon5 first, or check the link down below for updated URLs.
If you're listening on an audio podcast, you are hearing some things that you might not have expected. We have dogs in the room with us. We're going to
thank you for remembering that.
You're welcome. About that. Might hear that, might not hear that, but just so you're aware of it. Mm-hmm. Also, if you're listening,
just so you're aware, we're aware, and we're just saying it's okay.
And it's okay.
Yeah.
Another reminder, we did record some of these out of sequence. So when we get to the ranking, you're going to hear us talk about Enigma probably.
Yeah.
We already did that one. Now we're doing this one. It's all good. Just know we know and everything's fine. You don't have to tell us we did it out of order. You don't have to tell us you heard the dogs. We're good. If you're listening on the audio podcast, we appreciate that you're here. We love our listeners. You are going to jump ahead. You are about to go through a time warp.
Through the gate.
You're going to go through the gate.
Yeah.
Wormhole.
Through time and space.
When you come out on the other side,
we'll meet you there.
We'll meet you there. I'm going to share my first time reactions, and Brent's going to share any of those sci-fi messages he came up with. So let us enter Korai.
Guys, enjoy the future. I hope the weather's nice.
Chevron 7 locked.
You ever have one of those jobs that immediately doesn't go your way? Well, that's what the SG-1 team is facing right now. I mean, you know things aren't going to work out when one of the first people you talk to accuses your buddy, Tilk,
of killing their father. And to make it even more awkward, Teal'c is like, "It is possible. I mean, I have killed so many, many people. They all kinda run together." But little dude has his dad's walking stick, and that jars his memory. They send him to Korai. This is their version of court and justice. Teal'c follows willingly. He wants to face what he's done. Thing is, though, this Korai thing, it's a little different than what we're used to here. In the Korai, the victim is judge and jury, and the punishment for Teal'c's crime? Death. Jack does his best to play defense attorney, but quickly gets schooled on how stuff works here. But he keeps advising Teal'c, and Teal'c keeps ignoring him. He really wants this. He tells Jack that he can't make up for all of the lives that he's taken, but he can do that for this one person, and it must be done. The SG-1 team has the chance to provide testimony, basically be character witnesses, and Jack talks about how he helped the people from Abydos escape from Apophis back in Children of the Gods. Daniel talks about how Teal'c has shown that he can change, and Sam helps Teal'c explain what it has cost him to leave the Jaffa. In the meantime, Daniel, doing his Daniel thing, finds out the people sleep in caves, and they have a whole system to scatter and hide when the Goa'uld come to attack, and that either everyone makes it, or no one makes it. Somebody's too slow, or they can't hide, they stay with them. And that is why Teal'c killed Dude's dad. Apophis ordered him to kill one of them, or have all of the people killed. He saw that Dude's dad would hold them back, so he took him out to save the rest of the people. He tells that story, but little Dude isn't buying it, and he says Teal'c must die despite the strong arguments. And then fate intervenes. The Stargate, or in this case should I say Star Fate, opens up, and a bunch of Jaffa come through to attack. A former protege of Teal'c's is with them. Teal'c blasts him and a bunch of other Jaffa, showing little dude that he is a changed man, and that the Teal'c standing before him is not the Teal'c that killed his father. The day being saved, SG-1 offers the people some protection, and then they head home.
All right, Jeff, you've just watched Korai.
I did.
It was not the octagon that you were expecting.
Septagon.
But perhaps a fight nonetheless.
Yeah.
What did you think of Korai?
Well, I'm going to start off, and I said it during the episode, but I want to make sure audio listeners catch this as well. You challenged me that this is basically a beat-for-beat Season 1 Deep Space Nine episode.
Yes.
And it is of a story type that not everybody likes, but you personally do.
Yeah.
I also like this story type.
Yes.
Specifically the one told in the Deep Space Nine episode, Dax.
Yes.
Where Jadzia is put on trial for a crime they believe Curzon committed.
Yes.
And so here...
And you have to ask the question, is the person before me responsible and the same as the person behind?
Exactly.
Yes.
I like the way they did it with this one. So that in Deep Space Nine, they sci-fied the whole thing, right? So like literally... You had the same symbiote. You had Dax, but you had a different Trill,
yeah,
involved in it. Like there was that sci-fi nuance. This was so much more relevant to what is real,
yeah,
in our world. Where, hey, yeah, I did some stuff,
mm-hmm,
but I've grown and I've changed. Is that enough?
Yeah,
to make up for what I did. I what I love about this episode is like there's a lot I like about this episode, but I'm going to talk about this. I imagine you might talk about this too, but the real theme in this was the need for forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Teal'c had overwhelming amounts of grief that he's been suppressing.
Sure.
For who knows how long.
Sure.
Impacting every part of who he is.
Mm-hmm.
He was given an opportunity to basically fess up and own those errors and mm-hmm. be held accountable for it all the way to death. And he was there for it.
Yeah.
I want to feel better about the horrible things that I did. The episode goes on and on and on. All this stuff happens, right? I mean, it was a good episode, but what was it? 18 minutes in, I'm like, oh, here's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And it happened.
Sure.
Like, it's paint by numbers.
Yeah.
But really well done.
Like I said, you've seen this episode before.
Yeah, probably quite a few times.
Yes.
When Hanno acknowledges that Teal'c has changed.
I'm sorry.
Oh.
It's another Star Trek franchise, but Voyager had an episode where effectively Seven of Nine was put on trial for what she did as a Borg, and is Seven of Nine now. It's responsible and the same as the Seven of Nine. I mean, same episode.
Yeah.
Same idea.
Yeah.
God, I'm sorry.
It's a powerful.
I'm sitting here trying. I know so many shows have done it, and I'm trying to think of which ones they are.
It's a powerful model. It's interesting that we're both kind of wearing Star Trek shirts for this one.
We are.
There was the moment, though, where Hanno acknowledged the growth and the change in Tilk and basically forgave him.
Mm-hmm.
As the episode was ending, you made the comment, like, look, that Tilk's almost crying. He's so moved by this. There is so much power in forgiving and in being forgiven.
Right.
Loved the model of this. That's all I'm going to say on that. I want to leave space for you on it. I think the other question that it brought up in the same vein, what is justice?
Mm.
For Hanno, for the Bursa, justice is basically an eye for an eye, right? You know, oh, you killed this guy, so you're going to die too. Is that justice? Does that restore anything? I'm a huge fan of the concept of restorative justice, where a person is held accountable for what they did, but their punishment, it's not really a punishment, but what they're asked to do to be held accountable fills the space of the gap they created in the community.
Yeah.
So whether that's killing a person or stealing or damaging property, it's actually restoring what they can in all of that.
I would agree. I have long said, and this is not a podcast where we're going to litigate policy and government stuff, but the idea of putting people in prison as punishment is an awful policy.
It
does nobody, does society, does the victim, and does the perpetrator zero good.
It does bad.
Yes.
Like, yeah,
it actually does the opposite of what we're trying to do. And I would submit, I'm not saying there's not a reason for jail. There, you can have a holding pen where we got to keep you while we're going through some stuff. But as far as like actual prison, that should be reserved to remove people from society. And basically, once you go, you're removed from society.
That's what you do now.
That's what that should be.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we need to figure out a different way to have it as a threat, to have it as something that we just use as basically we're going to ground you, we're going to put you in timeout, except for the damage that that does, not just to the perpetrator, but also to society, to the victim, how it pushes things down the line. It's just awful.
It is.
Anyway, not the place to debate that idea, but.
Well, I'll just tell you, there is no debate. It's what it is. It's wrong to do that, and it's not effective.
Yes.
But this shows what was before that, right? So just not to harp on the issue, but there was a time where punishment for any crime was death, dismemberment, pain. In fact, not too long ago, you and I visited the oldest town in the United States, St. Augustine. At St. Augustine, they have a Museum of Medieval Torture.
Right?
Yeah. You went home with your children, which is good. This was not a place for them. But I visited that museum. Yeah. And like, it was amazing. These horrifying devices they had.
Yeah.
Like, they had these masks that had pieces of metal that didn't go into the throat, but just went into the mouth enough to be uncomfortable. And if a woman, specifically a woman, was found gossiping in public, she had to wear that mask for a period of time.
Wow.
Oh, you're talking? Wear this mask. And then all these other devices of torture that ultimately lead to killing somebody for a transgression. Prison was a humanitarian thing. Hey, we're going to lock them up instead of killing them.
Wow.
But I think that just like killing people played its course, locking people up has also played out. All right, enough on that. This is a Tilk episode.
Yep. Jeff, which means it's your favorite episode.
Jeff loves Tilk episodes.
Yes.
I'm going to stay on the Star Trek vein for a second here. What we saw, especially at the very end of this. So at the end, the Gould came and they attacked, even though they were overdue. And it's so amazing that this is the time they chose to come and do it. Right. They did. Tilk, gut stabs. Shackle, was that his name?
Yeah.
Shackle, who we saw back in the Nox, takes a shot to save somebody. Really shows like he's serious. He's actually a changed person. They're all like around him, like, oh, it's so great. We're good. He stands up, goes to this thing. He's like, all right, give me my sentence, get it done. And they're like, oh my gosh, you would die for the people that he's like, yeah, like I did the thing. So kill me. That is what honor looks like. What it does not look like is the loud bravado that Klingons bring to the table.
Yes.
The other races in Star Trek that are kind of honor bound in different ways that are loud about
if I can add to that, the bravado that the Narn bring to their issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they get big.
I can't do that because I am Narn. You're going to die.
Right. Yeah. Just scream, bro.
Yeah.
Just come on.
I get it. I appreciate what you're saying, but dude,
come on. I loved that moment. He's standing there, got no shirt on. He's got the ceremonial paint on him. And he's like, now do the thing. God, he's wrong to want to die for this. He is right to want to accept accountability. And I just so appreciated the honor that showed. I think there's quite a bit in this episode, but I think that one of the other things that I got out of it that I'll wrap up on, you spoiled this for me early on.
Sorry.
Spoiled, quote unquote.
Yeah.
General Hammond is awesome.
Yeah.
Dude is put in an impossible position.
Yeah.
You know, hey, I want to go save our guy. Also, we can't go save our guy. So sorry, Jack, this is what's going to happen. And he was amazing. He was patient. He was initially compassionate. And when he did lay it down, he did it in a really kind way. but firm.
Also firm.
Yeah. Yeah. Is awesome. Really good. I really enjoyed this episode.
I have a feeling, Jeff, I know you have at some points begun to expand your Starfleet Leadership Academy podcast, which, by the way, if you guys don't know about Starfleet Leadership Academy, Jeff is wearing the t-shirt, you should go check that out. Leadership lessons from Star Trek and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I would be shocked if you didn't pull some good General Hammond stuff, even some Jack.
Yeah.
Stuff into that show at some point.
Oh, 100%. I mean, we're like 15 episodes in. I'm like, yeah, there you go. There's all the stuff. Yeah, I really enjoyed this one. I don't know what that's going to mean for the ranking yet. I'm going to try really hard to check that it's a Tilk episode and not rate it just on that.
Right.
So we'll see how my willpower is. But no, it was great. I really enjoyed it. Did you, Brent? Mm. If you didn't, like last time, I'm going to be very little shocked. But what kind of sci-fi messages did you pull out of this one?
Well, I mean, like we've said, this is the episode that so many shows do. This is a great episode of sci-fi because this shows what sci-fi can do that procedural drama courtroom stuff can't do. You know, this takes it outside of the realm of humanity and puts it into terms of alien stuff, but it shows us, and we talk about holding up a mirror to society, it shows us exactly where we are. So many themes that you have in here. The big one, I think that stretches over it is, are you responsible for your actions of the past, especially if you're acting under orders or from some other source, you know, is the host of a Gould responsible for the actions that were carried out while the Gould was in control of the body? And that not everything is always black and white. Like for Hanno, it was, you killed my father. Yes, you did. Okay, now you die.
Mm-hmm.
It was a simple black-white issue. When what we discover is that it's actually really nuanced, because here's Teal'c, who is actually trying to save the rest of everybody else. And in order to do that, in order to stop the mass murder, and to actually give them a little bit of a heads up next time they come so they can get away, I'm going to take out the slowest and the weakest,
mm-hmm.
which happened to be Hanno's father. So in reality, what looks like a cold, cowardly act of terrorism,
yeah,
really,
right?
Was actually very much an act of compassion, yeah. And sort of shadow being on your side.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Which certainly goes to that. You have themes of forgiveness, which need to be ran through. I love the juxtaposition though, of the black and white piece with Jack, when Jack goes back to the SGC and Hammond comes in and Jack and Sam are standing there and Hammond comes in and says, well, are these folks hostile? And Sam kind of goes a little wishy-washy. She's like, well, kind of depends on what your definition of hostile. They treat us with respect. And Jack just jumps in and just goes, they have Teal'c and want to kill them, therefore they're hostile.
Yep.
Let's go.
They've got the desire, they've got the means, they got the motive.
Yeah,
it's going to happen.
But it's not that black and white. You know, it's there was a lot more nuance to that. I think there's a huge piece of this, and this, I mean, God, you just take this right out of Star Trek and drop it in. There's a huge piece of respecting the culture and customs of the place where you are.
Yeah.
To allow the Korai to happen, that it doesn't look like an American court with American justice values.
Totally another advantage of being sci-fi. We get to make up a legal system that a procedure would have to stick to in some level.
Right.
No, we don't have to. We can play with this.
Right. And then we can actually like throw our own ideas up there and challenge them to go, is the idea of innocent until proven guilty a valid answer? Which, yes, I would just like to answer that. I think that is still a good way to be. The idea that your judge should be impartial. You know, I've grown up in the South. There is a big piece of me that has always said, and in some ways, maybe still believes that when somebody commits a crime, the best person to dictate what the punishment should be the victim,
right?
Or the victim's family, right? Like, I get that feeling. Also, the grown up piece of me says those people are not acting with necessarily their right mind. Hando certainly was not acting with clarity of thought and judgment. There was a lot of emotion into what he was doing.
When you put that into play, and they, you know, they pointed out in this that it has its roots in Jewish faith, the Talmudic you know, justice. That's revenge.
Yeah.
Hando wanted revenge, not exactly justice. And I think when you can foster a culture of restorative justice, then it makes sense for the victim or the family or whomever not to necessarily render judgment, but to be involved in helping define what that restoration that leads to justice could be. It makes sense.
So I want to boil this all down to what I think it all ultimately comes down to. And it's the idea of, can a person change? Can a person change?
Is it possible?
Is it possible? One of the, I've said this before on our Babylon 5 show, I'll say it here. My daughter, especially my son, though, too, when he was younger, loved the movie Frozen. Right. And there, we would watch it in the car all the time and play through the speakers of the car. They'd be in the backseat watching the thing. And there is a line in one of the songs, a little troll song. My daughter loves this song that I absolutely hate and abhor, because the line says, "We're not saying you can change him because people don't really change." And that is something that a lot of people believe. I would venture to say a lot of our listeners, if you were to, that's people just don't really change. And I got to tell you, Jeff, that I cannot believe that that is true. I have done some pretty awful things in my life. There are things when I look back and I think of how I regret certain things in my life, and I'm not that person anymore.
Right.
I have to believe in change because I have been changed. Change is not possible, then I have not changed. And it's not that I'm not responsible for what I did before in the past, but it also means that I am still that person. And
stay with us. We'll be right back.
Before we gate into the rest of this episode, did you know you're missing most of the content from this podcast? Stargate SG-1 for the first time has an active and exciting Patreon that you can join right now by clicking the link in the show notes. Not only will you get access to the full, unedited podcast and reaction videos, you'll also be able to join a growing, vibrant, maybe even an intergalactic community. Subscribers even get access to all of our content from Babylon 5 for the first time. Don't miss out on this content and the amazing people. Just click the link in the show notes. Tilk thinks you should do it right now.
Indeed.
I think it means also, it says that you're not capable of growth.
Exactly.
You know, a couple thoughts on that. You know, I talk a lot in my leadership work about failure.
Yeah.
And how, you know, and when we think about the things in our lives we've done that we regret, those are failures that we've made, you know, in different contexts. From a work standpoint, I tell people that failure doesn't exist. You did a thing and you got information.
Yeah.
The question is, what are you going to do with that information? I think that same thing applies. I did a thing. It wasn't good. In fact, people got hurt or whatever. That's information.
Yeah.
What am I going to do with that information? In my day job, one of the programs that I'm responsible for does a risk assessment, basically a background check for people that have access to the aging, the elderly, people with disabilities, looking at protective services information and criminal history. in the state that I work in, we believe in rehabilitation to a point. Mm-hmm. So there's not, we don't have many automatic disqualifiers. We get to weigh, does this history make this person appear to be a risk or not? I have countless examples of people who have extensive criminal history.
Yeah.
I mean, quote, bad people who learn from their mistakes, grew, became more effective and qualified people in their field as a result of that, and are now doing amazing things. I mean, I'm talking to the tune of like tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people that my team has been a part of that restoration for them. And it's proven time and again that it's fine and it works.
So when I think about the Chevron rating, how strong is this message? Frankly, this is an episode that I'd never have had to think about too much. When we first started talking about doing this show in this way, I was like, well, Corey is going to be one of those episodes. Go run through the list of how we say it. Does it hold up a mirror to society and show us how we are? Yeah, absolutely.
Heck,
it does.
Yeah.
Does it show us how to be better human beings to each other? To talk about forgiveness and even just the loyalty that Jack shows to Teal'c of like, no, I'm going to do what it takes. And you had a whole discussion about whether or not he should stand down, stand up. He's doing exactly how he's supposed to be. Yeah, I think there's all of that's in there. Does it give us a hope for a better future tomorrow? Does it give us hope that we can be better in the future? Yeah, because it directly goes back to that idea of can people change? Also, is this the point of the episode? Is this why the writers of the episode were writing this up? Is this what they were trying to say? I think very clearly, yes, all of those things exist. And you know what this episode did that several of the early episodes of SG-1 didn't do? Remember Emancipation, a few of these, others, they would present a thing and then not talk about it. Mm. This one presented a deal, showed you this side of it, showed you that side of it, showed you a third side of it, showed you a fourth side of it, showed you some reasons of why things might happen. They flipped it upside down, looked at it the other way. They thoroughly examined it. Did they answer it at the end? Maybe, maybe not, but I think they definitely left a lot to say, okay, apply this to wherever your life is. I think this is a 5 Chevron episode all the way through. Like it's so replete in this episode and it's so on purpose and so intentional. I can't go lower than that.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. If you could go higher than that, this would be one of the ones that we could make that argument for.
Absolutely. Jeff, how about you? You get to do the ranking. I talk about how strong the message is. You just talk about how good was the episode. How much did you like the episode? And you're going to do that by placing this show in our season 1 ranking of SG-1. Now, our top 5 episodes are The Torment of Tantalus, The Knox, Cold Lazarus, Brief Candle, Bloodlines. I'll even continue from there. The Broken Divide, Children of Gods, Enigma, Thor's Hammer, Singularity. Just a reminder, we watched Enigma already. Jeff, where do you place Korai?
So technically, this is my ranking, right?
This is Jeff's. Well, it's the 100% immutable correct ranking of a first time watch.
According to
Jeff Aiken. Okay. Yes.
That's an important thing because I'm going to do a thing here.
Oh, my.
And I love.
Hold on. Just a reminder, he still has Brief Candle and Cold Lazarus way up there, and Enigma and Thor's Hammer is way down there. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yep. Well, I'm going to rectify a little bit of that.
Oh, yeah?
I got a plan.
Okay.
And I love that this is happening with this episode because I'm going to talk about this, and you're not going to know what I'm talking about. And then next week, I'm going to talk about a thing, and it's not going to, like, nothing's going to connect, and it's going to be wild.
Okay.
So the first thing I'm doing is I'm moving Enigma.
Oh, you're moving. You're making multiple changes. I like this.
I've had the opportunity to reflect on Enigma.
Okay.
Since we watched it, see it in a little bit of a different light.
Yeah.
And we've watched a couple other episodes since then also, which kind of helped that. I am going to move. It's currently in the number 8 position.
Yes.
It is going to move into the number 3 position.
Wow. So you're going to push Cold Lazarus and Brief Candle both down.
Yes.
Okay.
Which pretty big deal.
Yeah.
Then I got.
I would say that is a correct move.
Okay. Good. The fun thing is, here's what's fun. Next week, people are going to be like, "What do you mean you put it down there? What's wrong with you?" But some people won't because they watched this episode.
Yes.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Right.
I love the timing of this.
Yes.
So where does Korai go? Yes. This was a Teal'c episode.
Yes.
I love Teal'c episodes so much. This. Taught us a little bit more about the Gould and where they get their hosts. Yeah. I love when they talk about the Gould. Yeah. But if I think about the episodes that we've gotten that in recently with Singularity, right? Mm-hmm. We got a little more on the Gould. Yeah. Bloodlines gave us a lot with Teal'c.
Yeah.
So where does this one land for me? Much like you, Brent, I enjoy this story concept quite a bit. So this one, you ready for this?
Yes.
This one's going to drop in as our new number five.
Wow.
Moving Brief Candle, just above Brief Candle, right below.
Yeah.
Cold Lazarus.
Yeah. So for me, I would personally have Cold Lazarus and Bloodlines a little lower, but this grouping that you have of Korai, Brief Candle, Broke a Divide, those episodes in my book belong together. Mm. I'd probably move Thor's Hammer up a little bit. I'd probably move Children of the Gods up a little bit. But again, Children of the Gods is one of those that I don't want to rewatch a whole lot because it's so massive. I like the individual pieces, right?
Yeah.
But it's still like almost Children of Gods needs to be like its own little, like, we're just going to set that one over here. Because it was really good.
It's almost Korai is almost, or not Korai, Children of the Gods is almost, hey, let's watch the movie and let's watch Children of the Gods and let's rank those.
And now let's watch the show.
Yeah,
exactly. That's really what it is. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I mean, Children of God should be classified as a movie and not so much the episodes, but it is. Anyway, it
feels like
Jeff, I like the changes you've made.
Thanks.
I'm with it. I'm for it. I'm going to let it be.
Thank goodness.
All right. Well, with that, that is going to wrap up Korai. Next week, we will have watched Enigma. And we will have talked about that.
Ooh, Jeff, can I guess what it is?
Would you care to take a guess what Enigma might be about?
I'm not going to.
No?
I would love to sit here and tell you exactly what it is and be like, I got one right.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm not. I'm not going to cheat. Well, like
because,
that.
I mean, spoiler alert for next week. I'm pretty sure you came into Enigma going, I have no idea because it was a mystery.
It's a mystery in itself. Right? Oh, it's an Enigma. Yeah. So I'm not going to guess. I'll just tell you that I'm really looking forward to watching Enigma, as you might be able to discern from what I just did in the ranking.
I'm really looking forward to you guys watching Enigma with us and being able to interact with you guys in our comments section, emails, all that sort of stuff.
Especially when I think it'll be fun when people understand my ranking that came in. Because a theme that we were talking about this as I was leaving the house last night. Just so you know, they're putting things into time for you. But I said, you know, this is one of those episodes, Enigma, that is like a 35, 38 minute long episode that they had to stretch into this. And I'm just too old for that stuff. I don't have the patience for it. So.
Right. All right. Well, we'll see exactly what happens next time here on Stargate SG-1 for the first time. Jeff, I believe that makes the next episode you're watching an episode called Tin Man.
Oh, you don't give me that yet. I guess you have to give me that.
I did give you that. I gave you that at the end of Enigma.
Did you?
Yes.
I don't remember that.
Wasn't that Enigma? No.
And then now we're going to look.
Yeah, now I'm going to look. No, Solitudes. That's what it was. Solitudes.
Yeah, that makes more sense. Yeah, that makes more sense.
So that's going to be your next episode. But regardless of all of that, thank you guys so much for joining us here on Stargate SG-1 for the first time. Please, wherever you're consuming this show, whether you're watching it on Patreon or whether you're on YouTube, whether you're one of our incredible audio podcast listeners, thank you so much for listening. But please do like the show, subscribe, like the episode, leave us a rating and review, leave comments down below. We like to try to read those and respond to those. We're not so tight about spoilers in this as we were with Babylon 5, but still try to keep spoilers to the limit. And please share this video. Share this podcast with a friend, with a family member, someone you love, maybe even someone you hate. Doesn't matter. As long as they need to know what Stargate SG-1 is all about, they need to fall in love with it. Join my friend Jeff here, or join me on a searching your soul mission through the whatever it is. All right, we're going to get out of here. Thank you guys so much. Until next time, cannot wait.
Hey, Brent.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, Jeff.
I am prepared to accept my punishment for eating the last piece of pizza. I know that I blamed it on your son, but it was actually me.
For crying out loud.